are the days of Elijah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible's become.
To doubt our doubts. Amen. Hallelujah. We doubt our doubts and we cast the devil away. Amen.
Oh Lord, you are so gracious to me. Oh Lord, you are so gracious to me. And I love you.
Amen.
because you first love me. Because you first love me. Oh Lord, you are so precious to me. I love you, Lord, and I love you. Yes, I love you because you first love me. Oh, because you first love me.
Him because he first loved you.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Angel is asking for prayer. She's journeyed to Holland to visit Brother Max Jr. Brother Godfrey as well sent a message from the airport. He's on his way to Zambia. So please keep him in prayer as well. And I think you already prayed for Sister Dube, yeah? No, Sister Dube is at work this evening, was asking for prayer. So let's put that before the Lord. Father, bring in your people up unto thee. Father, surely we're needy people, and we're so glad that we can come unto you. Father, even as we've sung, where would we be if you didn't love us? Father, where would we get our strength? Where would we get our courage? How would we face up to tomorrow? But Lord, because you live, we can face tomorrow. And we thank you for that, Lord. Bless our sister at work. Watch over her, Lord. Bless our brother traveling back home. Bless him while he's there. Bless our sister, Lord, even as she'd go to Holland and travel on from there. Be with her, we'd pray. Father, we dedicate them into your hands. And Father, us that have gathered in this place, how we want, Lord, your grace upon this night. How we need your virtue. How we need your fellowship. How we need your communion. You know the days that we're living in. Father, you know the enemy. You know his wiles. You know the work that he would desire to do. But Father, you are more than able. And Father, you are more than willing. For you said, Lord, that you'd always raise up a standard. And we thank you, Lord, for the standard in this age. So we come, Lord, to yield ourselves to that standard upon this day. Father, we want to come under the blood, that everything that would stand between us and thee, Father, we would want to humbly lay it upon the altar even now and ask that you would wash us in the blood of the Lamb. Wash us clean, we'd pray. Sanctify us and purge us at this time. And Father, as we'd open up your word, we're asking for your special grace upon your word. Father, Lord, your word is more than life unto us. And Father, Lord, break unto us the bread once again, we pray. Bless your people upon this night. Even as it's been prayed for them that haven't come, we pray for them. Lord, look it unto thee. Father, be glorified. This night we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, let's open our Bibles. Let's open the book of James, chapter 1. We'll get a few verses from James, chapter 1. I didn't really want to preach this today. I was going to preach it on Sunday. But there sometimes come circumstances and situations that you just say, ha, I think it's better to preach this one today. You know, it's interesting when you speak to a lot of people and you spend a lot of time, you know, fellowshipping over a few days with a lot of people about various things. You really find that the message is the answer, but the thing that we need the most is, like we always say, for the word to become flesh. And I've really learned that. You've learned it in your experience as well, for the word to become flesh. So that in the midst, when it really comes down, when push comes to shove, in the midst of trouble, when you really need the word to kick in, you want the word to kick in. Now, you don't want to react or behave or make decisions, and then afterwards you think, but that's not what it says in the word. You know, you want to get to that stage. I want to get to that stage that we are so in harmony with the word that it's just natural that when situations come, we act according to the word. And that's how we go through these topics. We're still continuing on the stature of a perfect man, which is looking at patience this evening. So this is the 7 steps to perfection. We're looking at patience. But this is James chapter 1, the scripture the prophet uses when he speaks about patience. Let's read from verse 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience," or allow patience. So that's an act of your will. That's your own decision. You don't have to let it if you don't want. If you don't want that trial to develop patience inside of you, it's your choice. But if you are a son or a daughter of God, whatever you're going through, you yes. want a certain purpose to be achieved in that trial. That's what you want. And that's what he's saying, James, in verse 4. Let patience have her perfect work. You know, so this work that he's doing, it's going to be a perfect work if you let it. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. And if any of you lack wisdom, so in the midst of trial, we need wisdom. Amen. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's also read 2 Peter chapter 1, just to remind ourselves again. Let's just take from verse 5. 2 Peter 1 verse 5, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, we looked at last Friday, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We saw there was experiential knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, we saw on Sunday, that was self-control. Being able to subdue, to put under your passions, your feelings, your emotions, keeping your tongue under control, keeping your temper under control. Those kind of things. That's what it is. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, so with us as believers, many of us, they're in us, but we need them to abound. Now you want it to overflow in the midst of whatever circumstance. Let that overflow. You know, let it come in. That's what you desire. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. If the brothers could just check on the desktop there, I think there's from Sunday. We just want the picture of the statue of a perfect man. I think it's called Seven Steps to Perfection, Part 1, Part 2. There should be some slides there. If you could just started for us, if you wouldn't mind, just to remind ourselves of this. Now, when the prophet preaches this message, Statue of a Perfect Man, you know, it's one of those messages you can just take a real long time going through it. Because each of these things he's speaking about are such important things. These are not lightweight things. These are real life things to a believer. And the prophet approaches it in real practical ways. You know, he's not approaching these things in a way which isn't really practical. So he says in the message on page 36 on Statue of a Perfect Man, he says, then after that, so he's just spoken about temperance. So if you go to the slide, Brad, thanks, if you just keep it up for us. So we're getting up here to patience. And don't forget, the prophets also showed us the church age messengers on the side and the church ages. You know, so just as much as he's built his church, he builds the believer. And these ages here are the dark ages. These are the ages of the persecution, the trial of the church. These are the times of the martyrs. This is the ox kind of an anointing. This is the beast of burden, beast of sacrifice. This is the laboring anointing that God gives to the church. That when the people went through trials that you and I can hardly even understand or imagine. You know, being put in prison, separated from their families, being tortured in the Tower of London and burnt at Smithfield and so forth. You read your Fox's Book of Martyrs, and yet there was a certain quality in these people, these martyrs, that no matter what the people did to them, they weren't going to change. You couldn't get these people to swerve from their course. You couldn't get these people to recant, to deny their faith. That's the type of characteristics that we're speaking of here. That the prophet says was developed in the church through those dark ages, through those times of trial, through those times of affliction and persecution. Now, when it seemed the enemy had control, but he never really does have control. He just has permission. He doesn't have control. And that's the same as in our lives, because we go through these kind of times as well. Now, when it seems the enemy's got control, we know in the Bible it speaks about, have you considered the patience of Job? You know, so it seems that there's certain seasons in life where the enemy seems to have the preeminence. He's given more, right, given free rein, it seems, to go to a certain extent within certain boundaries, where he has a lot more liberty to work in our lives, in our circumstances, and at other times. And we'll see that God's answer to this is patience. Is this patience that we're speaking about. So the prophet says, Fourthly, you want to add patience to your faith. Because at the beginning they had said, to your faith add knowledge, virtue, knowledge, and patience. So you want to add patience to your faith. And we'll see that it's impossible to have patience without faith. Amen. It's impossible. Amen. That's why there's got to be some supernatural working inside of your life at the beginning of your Christian life. And you've got to be in communion and fellowship with Christ. Otherwise, you can never display these attributes. Without that, these are just natural virtues in the life of a person. And no natural virtues will take you through divine trial. They'll never. Now, when you go through the wilderness, when you're led of the Lord into the wilderness like the Lord Jesus Christ was, your natural virtues will only take you so far. But they can't take you all the way through. These virtues, they can't stay as being natural. These virtues have to be transformed into something supernatural in order to overcome the supernatural things that we have to overcome. Things may work naturally against us. You may be at work. Now, there's a supernatural against you. It just reminds me, I was speaking to Brother Crosby some time back, and Brother Alan Connor was there with Brother Robert, the brother with the gift of discernment. And they had a service on a Wednesday night, and Brother Robert, he really got in the spirit, and he discerned Brother Crosby's wife. And he told her, he said, you've got a burden on your heart, and that burden is for your daughter. She's at school under a demonic oppression. And what it was is at the school, the daughter was being bullied by people. Yeah, so we look at the outward circumstance and think, but hey, these people are bullying my child. But in the spiritual realm, it's a demon oppression. Amen. It's an attack. It's a demonic attack coming from the spiritual, but it's working itself out in the natural. And that's how all of these things work. No, you can have a spiritual oppression sometimes, but afflictions and trials and these ages of the ox anointing, it was through people. It was a demonic work which the Lord had permitted for a reason and for a season, but it was working through the natural. It was working through the Roman Catholic Church. It was working through the governments and so forth. And we saw that. So that's what the prophet says. It worketh patience. The Bible said, so this is patience. That's the next thing that's going to build this stature. You know, God's got real material in his building. Friends, God's got real material in his building. So this is his building. We saw last week, this is his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works that we are predestined unto. Predestined unto the adoption of children. So we're predestined to these things. But we saw as well, we've got to give all diligence. Now, there's certain things that we can do to, when the Lord's dealing with us in each of these different aspects, there's certain things that we need. And in these ones, patience and temperance, the most important thing is your attitude. Amen. That's the key to developing patience, is your attitude. Amen. Towards the things that you're going through. And that's why the prophet says it depends on faith, because faith is a revelation. Faith is a reality to you that whatever the Lord's taken you through, he's in control. He has a purpose. He knows what he's doing. He wants to develop something inside of you. So if you don't have faith, when you get to these realms of patience and temperaments and afflictions and trials, you'll give up. You'll run out of steam. You'll think God's forgotten about me. God doesn't care for me anymore. God doesn't love me. People don't care for me. You'll end up thinking like that. But when you have faith, that spiritual faith that kicks in, so you can add to your faith patience. Those two things working together, James is telling us. The trial of your faith worketh patience. So these two things have to work together. And that's why you find when we get low in faith, when our spiritual fellowship and communion with Christ isn't what it should be, instead of having the right attitude, we start to murmur. We start to complain like Israel in the wilderness. We complain against Moses. We complain about the way that we have to go. Why is there no water? Yeah. Why is the water bitter? Where is this man Moses? He's taken too long in the mountain. We told him we should have stayed down in Egypt. Why did he take us out of Egypt? And that caused them, instead of the Lord developing something in them, it disqualified them from the promised land. And you wouldn't really want it to be like that. So the key to this one is going to be your attitude. And that's why, look what James is saying, if you take it back to James, because the prophet's quoted this to us as he starts off speaking about patience. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. That's not easy. Amen. Without faith, without you having real fellowship with Christ, personal fellowship with Christ, you're not going to look at the situation you're in with joy. You're not going to say, but Lord, this is an opportunity. Lord, you're trying to develop something inside of me. Lord, you're trying to purify me. You're trying to purge me. You're trying to make me more like you. You're trying to make yourself more real to me. You're trying to get glory in my life through the trouble that I'm going through. You won't look at it like that. You won't look at it with joy. Yeah? But James is saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Knowing this. So knowledge comes in here. Because of what you've been through in the past. Because of the Lord's dealings with you in the past, your intellectual knowledge through the things you've been through has become experiential knowledge. You know, last time I went through trials, it worked out for my good. Last time I went through something like this, the Lord had a blessing at the end. The Lord had a purpose in these things. So because of your knowledge, that's why knowledge has to come before you get up to the realms of patience. Because it's not going to be easy to have patience unless you first got some experience in your knowledge. Amen. That the Lord's taken you through smaller things, and he's proved his faithfulness. He's proved to you in the rough ways, in the journey, in the valleys of life. He's proved to be with you. He's proved that his thoughts are good towards you. He's proved to you that no matter how dark it looks now, it's going to work out for your good. Amen. But if you have that kind of a knowledge, James is saying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's where patience comes from. When your faith is tested, when there's a promise given and it takes a long time, yeah? When the Lord really has made something real to you, like to Abraham, through Sarah, your sons, your seed shall be born, and then it takes 25 years. That's the trying of Abraham's faith. Amen. It was revealed to him, and if he's not careful, if he doesn't stay in fellowship with the Lord, in the midst, instead of developing patience, because patience is endurance. That's what it is. Patience is endurance. It's perseverance. That's what it is. So if he's not, if he's not going to be careful here, he's going to start looking for another plan in the midst. He's going to say, I think this one's taking a little bit too long. And Sarah's going to come and say, you know, we have a very attractive alternative here. It's going to be very pleasant, this one, compared to the trial you're going through. Here's this beautiful Egyptian girl called Hagar. Why don't you go into her and raise up a child, you see? And it was because Abraham at that time, the Lord was trying to develop faith. He was trying to develop patience. He was trying his faith. It's easy to do that, friends. You find somebody that says, it's taking too long to marry. Then you start looking at the world. It's exactly the same thing. It's the trying of your faith. And instead of developing a patience, endurance inside of you, you know, the enemy can come in as well and offer you an alternative and say, why don't you do this? And you know, this guy's got a nice car. You know, he's got a real silky tongue, and he's, you know, he's a smart guy with a good job. But if he's not born again, you should have nothing to do with him. That's what your faith will tell you. But it really needs fellowship with the Lord. Now the prophet, if you read a little bit further on in this message, I think it's on page 49, he says something very important about this diagram. He says, now, in building this monument, this statue, it starts off, the foundation is faith, and then he builds it up. He says, now, then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love. That's why he put love up there. So divine love. For God is love, and he is the strength of every one of these things. Amen. Now he's going to explain that to us. He says, you see, I've got in between all these works in here, and he has little waves coming. So it's not on this picture, but the prophet put little waves. And what's he trying to say? He's trying to say that capstone, right from when you first accept Christ, it's working in your life. You see? But your faith at first is intellectual. But those waves, that anointing, that revelation, that personal working of Christ coming from the capstone, is if you allow it to, it's going to come through, it's going to transform this faith into supernatural faith. It's going to transform your virtue. It's going to give you power so that you can keep giving out like Reverend Mr. Lilly. If you don't have this influence, this source working inside of your life in a real way, that these things are just natural virtues. But once the capstone, those waves, the Holy Ghost, divine love is working real inside of your experience, it starts to, the prophet, listen how he says it. He says, I got in between all these works in here, right? The little waves coming. What is it? The Holy Ghost coming down, welding this together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. So the same capstone that's going to cap you off is the same capstone that's working in you now. But he's just trying to develop the right platform, the right building, so that he can cap you off, which is your adoption, which is Yahim, as we saw. So that's a key principle the prophet's saying. So let's not forget in each of these things, the source of your strength, the prophet says, the source of the strength of each of these things comes from there. It's not by power, it's not by might. You can't endure in your own strength. You can't. You've got to be receiving from the capstone. He's got to be putting divine love through the power of the Holy Ghost in a real way inside of your life. And that energizes. That's the power of transformation that takes each of these things from being natural virtues and transforms them through trial, transforms them through revelation, transforms them by the things that he takes you through. If you have the right attitude, that transforming power transforms these things into what they're supposed to be. So that's the key there. That it's not by power. It's not New Year's resolutions. It's not, I'm not going to do that again. Unless you're in fellowship with Christ, unless you have the right attitude, you are going to do it again. Because your natural strength, your natural self will only take you so far. Now they say, we had guys that were giving us a course once, and they said that in overcoming or changing behavior, yeah? Generally speaking, if somebody says, I'm going to change, after 3 days, they go back to what they were. If a person says, I'm not going to drink anymore, 3 days later, he's drinking. If somebody says, I'm not going to curse anymore, 3 days later, he's cursing again. You can't do that. Now, you can't change yourself. But his divine power and his divine promises, it says, have given us all that's required unto life and godliness. You know, so we're looking for that. So that's the key here. So as we look at this one of patience, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that in your own resources, you're going to run out of patience. In your own resources, if you're just relying on yourself, you're going to come to the time to think, it's too much for me. And you're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to go back to Egypt sometimes. Why? Because you've got to let patience have its perfect work. Now, there's something that you've really got to allow here. Now, the real meaning of patience, the word means to abide under. That's what the word is, patience. This is from the Bible dictionary. The word is perseverance. And that's how the prophet preaches perseverance 11 times. From the 1962 up to 1964, the time of the seals, he preaches that message, perseverance, 11 times. It's an important message. Showing that it's such an important principle, especially in the day that we're living in, is perseverance. That power to persevere. The perseverance. Now listen what it says. This is the definition of the real meaning of patience. It's very interesting. It says the root idea is to remain under some discipline. So the Lord's trying to make you more of a disciple. Because discipline means to make a disciple. Discipline doesn't just mean correction in a negative way. It's teaching, it's instruction, which includes correction. So the Lord wants you to be his disciple more. He wants you to be more in his image, a closer walk with him. So he puts you under something. He allows something to come upon you, an affliction, a trial. Other people don't understand you. Sickness strikes the home. Troubles at work. Troubles at school. Whatever that it is, it's these kind of things. Temperance, we saw the other day, is obtaining mastery over your own passions, especially your sensual habits and attributes and so forth. So, no, that one, temperance, is many. You're overcoming your temper. You're having to overcome your lust. You're having to overcome trials. Trials that come from without, but they appeal to something within. There's a temptation that's there. And now you have the power to say no. You have power to gain the mastery over your temper. Mastery over your lust. Yeah, mastery over the way you behave, the way you react. So you're not always regretting the reaction to an action. Ah, the Lord allowed me a chance there to react the same way. But hey, my old nature overcame me once again. And I acted like a natural man. I acted the same way that I used to act before I met Christ. Now that's going to happen at first inside of your life while he's building you up. But you want to get to the stage that now your natural reaction isn't the same as it used to be before you became a believer. You've got to be developed. You've got to be built up into this image of Christ. But so many times we see it, friends. That's why I say it's so easy, the intellectual word. It's so easy for us to sit down, sweeten the mouth, say, that's wonderful. I want patience. I want temperance. And then you'll find, let brethren step on your toe. You forget all about this. Yeah? And now you're behaving just the way you're not supposed to behave. You're angry with people. You're frustrated with people. You wanted to say, no, nah. Yeah? The word's not being made flesh. That's how we need to catch ourselves at that time and say, but Lord, I don't want to just be intellectual on these things. I want these things to be real in me. That when it really comes down to the crunch, when I need something to kick in, when I need to move beyond the gear of my natural virtue that I was born with, that there's a supernatural something that kicks in. Because it doesn't have to, like we saw with Moses. You can get frustrated. You can take the rod, smite the rock twice. You rebels, must we bring water out of the rock? And it doesn't please the Lord. He didn't have to do that. He was called to remain under a trial. Yeah? The brethren were complaining against him. Church Israel was complaining against him. He was supposed to endure. He was supposed to stay under. He was supposed to remain as under the anointing of the ox to just pull. When the burden came heavy, it was time to pull the load now. It was time to bear the burden at that time. But at that time for Moses, it became too much. And he made a decision. He says, no, I'm tired of this. It's been like this for too long. This time it's different. This time I defend myself. And then you're in trouble. Now you're in trouble because you're no longer a disciple. You're no longer under the yoke that Christ is trying to put upon you. Take my yoke upon you. You're no longer the disciple and he's the master. You now the master. Yeah? Because you are the one who wants to take it into your own hands. And God will never bless that. When Abraham and Sarah took it in their own hands, it became a curse. It became a trouble. Because Ishmael was born. Troubling the world up to this time now. You see, those like solutions that you're trying to make. And if you go and study that one of Abraham with Hagar, where did the solution come from? From Egypt. They brought the solution with them from Egypt. You've got to be careful because sometimes in the crunch situation, you go back to the way you used to be in Egypt. You lean upon your old Egyptian knowledge, your old Egyptian way of handling things. You don't want it to be like that. You'd rather the Egyptians die and are drowned in the Red Sea. And when you come this side of the Red Sea in the wilderness, it's his solution. You're seeking for his solution. So that's why temperance, it's more to do with your reaction, yeah? Towards things that maybe play upon your natural man, upon your flesh. We saw Joseph, yeah? He really had temperance. When Potiphar's wife tempted him day by day, at the risk of his job, even at the risk of his liberty, that there was a certain gear that he could get into just when he needed to get into because his flesh would have been desiring. His flesh would have been tempted because we're warm-blooded mammals. And it's not possible that a beautiful woman can be with you in the house, telling you, lie with me, sleep with me, eh? Trying to hug her up to himself. That's what the Bible says. Day by day. And then the man says, it's not right. Again, this is a sin against God and it's a sin against your husband. Ah, friends, that's now why Joseph was perfection. That's why Joseph is such a reflection of Christ inside of the Bible, because of that. Ah, friends, it's a serious thing when you think about it. Now, there's grace. Because every single man except for Christ, he had his moment of weakness. He had his faults. He had his failings. But we need to learn from those things. You know, you need to keep that under the blood. You need to keep that particular aspect of your life where Satan's gained the preeminence, where he's gained the victory. Now, surely we need to not be ignorant of his devices next time, but you need to be watchful and vigilant and be on the lookout to say, when I was making good ground before, when I had good spiritual momentum inside of my life, what knocked me down last time was this. Friends, the devil's not a dummy. He's going to, if it worked last time, he's going to come again. He's going to do the same thing. You know, if he knocks you down a second time, surely there's got to come a time where we stop and say, hey, guys, let me learn the lesson. You know, I don't want to keep finding myself in this position time and time again. So that's why it means to remain under some discipline, subjecting yourself to something which demands the submission of your will. Can you see how patience comes in? When something is coming, the Lord puts something upon you. He puts you in a trial. He puts you in a circumstance that is against your will. Like the master, the great overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ, when the cup was offered to him, yeah? That wasn't easy. It wasn't his will to take the cup. He knew what that entailed. He knew now what persecutions, afflictions, pain were going to come from without and within. He knew the spiritual turmoil he was going into. He knew the physical aspect he was going into. He knew the demon attack he was going to open himself to if he just took that cup. But he showed the way. He showed the way. And that was the supreme example of patience, of endurance. We'll see that Paul uses that example. But to remain under some discipline, subjecting yourself to something which demands a submission of your will, to something against which you would naturally rebel. So your nature, the natural man, is going to rebel against and say, I don't like this. I don't like it when people speak against me. I want to defend myself. Yeah? And then the dove comes down. And he speaks to you and says, no. Have the right attitude. There's a purpose. Let your faith kick in. This is going to work for your good. This is going to develop something inside of you. This is going to work out as a testimony. This is going to work out for his glory, and for your good. Amen. Something kicks in at that time and says, be careful. But James says, you have to let. You have to allow patience to have its work. Can you see? It's quite easy for you to rebel at that time. I say, I don't want it to be like this. No. People can't make me a fool like that. Well, don't forget the man with the t-shirt. I'm a fool for Christ. Amen. Whose fool are you? Sometimes maybe Christ wants you to be a fool. Paul became a fool to the people. Amen. Paul became a fool. It's a test. And it's God's grace when you have the right attitude. When you catch it early enough and say, but Lord, this isn't just something to frustrate me here. This isn't just something which is happening, which shouldn't be happening. Because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. You've led me exactly to this place. You're testing my reaction to an action. You wanted to develop something inside of me. Saints, this one is so important to get there. It's so important, but it's one we fail with so many times. So many times. Because it's our natural virtue we're trying to use, our natural virtues that we're trying to use. And that's why the prophet that time when the tax case was against him, and he had enough, and he went home and he told his wife, honey, wash the kids. I've had enough. I'd rather be a vagabond the rest of my life. You see, it almost became too much for him. He almost ran out of endurance. And what did Sister Mita say to him? Did you pray about it? Did you go and get resources once again? And the moment the prophet went and prayed about it, yeah, the Lord revealed a scripture to him. When Jesus said to Peter, yes, they want temple tax. Okay, we're not supposed to pay. The prophet wasn't supposed to pay in that tax case. He says, but Peter, lest we offend them. Go to the river, cast in the hook, take out the fish, give it for you and give it for me. And then the prophet says, aha, so I could stand on my own rights here and make a big fuss. But the Lord's just telling me, let's not offend them. Just pay whatever they want you to pay. You see, and that was now the power that helped him to endure to the end without bringing a reproach, without complicating things any further. And that's why, friends, tonight I was going to speak on that topic. Have you prayed about it? That was going to be my thought. Have you prayed about it? When you're angry with people, have you prayed about it? When you're about to phone someone to give them a piece of your mind, let the question come to you. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Yeah? When you're thinking enough is enough, I don't want to do this anymore. Have you prayed about it? Because I guarantee if you pray the right way, you're not going to see that situation the same way. If you pray enough, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's going to come the divine love. He's going to start getting into that patience again. He's going to start getting into that temperance again. He's going to start to quicken those attributes. And then you're going to handle it different than you did before. Now you're going to see some mastery over it. Now you're going to see some self-control where before there wasn't self-control. Now there's going to come some victory. Now there's going to come some increased knowledge because something's going to work and it's going to be put now in the memory, spiritual memory bank. So next time something happens, you're never going to forget what you went through. But you've got to let patience, allow patience to have its perfect work. Then you become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Friends, I know it's not exciting, but it's more important than exciting things sometimes. Amen. Listen how the prophet says it here. He says it in Statue of a Perfect Man. He says in paragraph 35, verse 4, he says, you know, God's got real material in his building. But see how short we are, brethren. Hey, see why where we're at. He's saying, see why we are where we are. Why we only have so much glory, so much power, so much authority. Because he's still trying to build us up. So the capstone's dealing with us. He's giving us the resources. He's giving us revelation. He's given us fellowship. He's given us all the resources, the promises, the power that we need. Then he puts us into circumstances now. Yeah? So that we can work together with him through those circumstances. But with patience, you've got to put yourself under. And you've got to stay under the dove. And even if it means there's a natural rebelling in your flesh, a natural rebelling against that situation, it's that ability to master that, to put that underfoot, to say, no, the Lord has allowed this for a purpose. There's the will of God that needs to be done here. Not my will that needs to be done here, but there's his will that he's trying to achieve here. And once you look at situations like that, it sweetens them, friends. It's like when Israel came to Marah and the waters were bitter. When Moses cried unto the Lord, he took a tree, cast it, the waters became sweet. When you have the real revelation of what the prophet's saying here, the bitter waters become sweet. Because you see, oh Lord, there's a purpose here. There's a good purpose here. You're trying to build me up. You're trying to take me higher. You're trying to take me further. You're trying to make me more like you. You're trying to qualify me for a greater portion. That's what he's trying to do. But you have to let patience have its work that you may be perfect. So the prophet says, you see how short we are, brethren. Now he really says something which really helps us in this age. He says, you see, we have glory. We have shouts and things because we've got faith. Aha. Now he said, look at what faith will do. Faith will give you glory. Faith will give you shout. Faith will give you, amen, wonderful. Yeah, that comes from faith. He says, because we've got faith. But when we come down to these things here, God can't build us into that stature. You see, he can't make us up to that kind of a place. We've got all these other things, and he says, we got all these other things, but we fall and slide off with it. He can't build his church. That's why many of us, friends, I look in my own life when trials come, because the natural reaction when trial comes, you don't want it. Let somebody send you an email you didn't like. Now, it's when you preach, friends, when you deal with people, you know what it's like. If you have an office, if you're a deacon, if you're a musician, whatever, friends, there's a lot of people that are going to criticize you. There's a lot of people not going to be happy. When people get out of the spirit, they can say some stinging things, because there's power in the tongue. And sometimes the anointing behind what is said, there's a real anointing behind it. It's not just words. Amen. And it cuts deep like a sword, it says in Proverbs. Yeah, it can be hard. The prophet says that I want you to go to Alaska. He says, why? Because the ministers were bawling me out. He says, I've been cut deep many times. Amen. You see, he was cut. And because now he didn't go back and allow some fresh glory to come down from above into that situation, he tried to look, how can I get out from under? How can I get out from under this situation? I don't want to be in this situation anymore. And let me say it, friends, anybody who holds a public office, especially in the bride, you get to that stage quite regularly. I once showed the brothers at the officers' meeting, they did a survey of pastors in America. That was like charismatic pastors, not message pastors. And they said, I think it was 75% of pastors think of giving up every Monday. Because you're tired, you're worn after the weekend. And sometimes a person's tried their best, and the devil knows how to get Mr. Critic to hit you when you're tired after you've done your best, like with Elijah. You're coming down from the mount, he has Jezebel waiting there now. Yeah. And that final blow, the prophet says, and now Elijah, he wanted to flee. It has to be like it. And it's going to be the same inside of your own Christian walk as well. That the devil's going to be looking for that opportunity. He's going to be studying you. He knows just how to pull that string. And then, the good work the Lord was doing, it didn't quite work the way the Lord wanted it to work. Well, we learn from those kind of things. The prophet says, an ever-present water from the rock. I don't have the full quote, but I'll just quote it roughly. But the prophet says, he's speaking about Israel in the wilderness, and he says, you will say, Brother Branham, why is it our church, why is it our gifts and things never quite come to the color of where they're supposed to be? That's what he says, yeah? He says, because like Israel in the wilderness, when the testing time comes, we think that God has forsaken us. So when God wants to try you as the song leader, yeah? And it comes a tough time. If you're not careful, if you don't go about it the right way, you want to come out from under. You see, when you're a deacon and things aren't going the way that you wanted in church, things aren't changing quickly enough, my friend, stay under. Don't forget that you're a disciple. Don't try to bring yourself out and you be the boss now and say to the Lord, no, Lord, I want things to be. No, be careful. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. We've got to wait for the sound in the mulberry trees, the prophet says. That's what David was worried about, that fight. And he waited for the sound in the mulberry trees, because the prophet says, the Lord has to go before. Otherwise, we run ahead of God sometimes in our own human passion, human temperament. We run ahead. We want this to be done. And we get the work all complicated. And now it takes a long time to try to get it right once again. Yes, you've got to really, really be careful, the prophet says. But that's what he says, an ever-present water from the rock. He says, that's why the church never seems to come to the place that it should. Because like Israel in the testing time, we think God's forsaken us. We think, no. If God was here, this would never happen. If God was leading me, this would never work. Be careful of thinking like that, my friend. God doesn't make mistakes. He knows why we are where we are, and he knows why you are where you are. He knows exactly what he's trying to achieve inside of your life. So it's a submission. So perseverance or patience is, it's a quality of character that does not allow someone to surrender to circumstances. So it's a certain quality inside of somebody that when it kicks in, saints, maybe you can open the door or something. Because is it hot in here? Is everyone hot? No. I think in front here, people are starting to doze, yeah. So it's a certain quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or to succumb under trial. Now, this is the key. Because we're never going to go any further until we get the ability that when the big trial comes, yeah, when the big testing time comes, let's take Joseph again. Look what Joseph has to go through to get to the capstone, to get to the throne. He has to have his brothers speak evil against him. His brothers have to hate him. His brothers cast him to the ditch, sell him as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. The price of a common slave. He stays under. He's down in Egypt. He's sold to Potiphar. But in Potiphar's house, what happens? The Lord is with Joseph. Can you see he kept his attitude right? Can you see no matter how much he didn't understand his circumstances, he didn't understand why he was in the situation he was in. Although everything inside of him didn't want to be there. He wanted his father. He wanted his father's house. But there was something of perfection inside of this man that he knew, I don't understand this, but he knows the way that I'm taking. He knows why I don't understand why I'm here yet. But he knows why I'm here. So I'm going to stay under this trial. I'm not going to exert my will and try to push myself up and try to get myself out using my own way of changing the situation. And that's what I said. Only divine nature can do that. Joseph was the one. And we'll see it when his brothers came, friends. There was a real trial. Something's with the speaker. The prophet says we have to have patience. Patience with God. I think we need patience with technology sometimes. He says you have to have patience with one another. That's the way that it's got to be. So that's what it is. Listen what the prophet says about patience now. He says, patience with what? Paragraph 35:5. What kind of patience? First thing is to have patience with God. Hey, have patience with God. That you need to be able to endure. You need to be able to keep yourself with the right attitude, like the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what people did, no matter what his father sent him to allow to happen to him, he never rebelled. He never murmured. He never complained. He never said, I don't want to do this. He said, Father, if it be possible. Now his approach was with such a respect, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is thy will be done. And I'll say to every single person here, including myself, what I'm going through now, what you're going through, it's the will of God. Don't kick against the pricks. Bring yourself under. Bring yourself under. Let patience have its perfect work. If you're lacking wisdom, seek for wisdom. Let faith kick in. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're going to rebel against God in that situation. Don't just look at the circumstances and say, but it's his fault, her fault, it's their fault, it's this person did. No, no, no. You're failing to see the picture. You're failing to see the reality of the situation. It's not them on trial in your life. It's you on trial. It's your faith that's being tested. And if you can just block out the other people, there's secondary causes. Job in his trial didn't need to look at his wife and say, ah, my wife, look, she's the one who did this. He didn't need to look at those three comforters and say, ah, but it's their fault. No, 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 no. He had one attitude inside of himself, his patience of Job. When I've come forth, he's trying me, I'm going to come forth like gold. He knows, and when he's finished with me, I'm going to come out of this with gold. Friend, this one's a serious one. I believe when a believer has this, the devil gets frustrated. When you have temperance and patience, hey, those attacks that come to try to attack your passions, attacks to get you to sin from within. And then whenever it comes, by the grace of God, you kick in the gear, you put that underfoot. Temperance. Ah, like Satan did with Jesus. Matthew 4, he comes to test him with temperance. The lusts of the eye, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life. He tries to see, is there anything? I'm going to give him bait. Is there anything here he's going to respond to? It was a temptation to Jesus. Yes, in his humanity, he was tempted for those things. But he had the mastery. He had temperance. He put them under foot, get behind me, Satan. So Satan said, okay, let me try another way. Now he brings the persecutions from without. Now he brings the council, the Sanhedrin. He brings all these persecutions against Jesus. It's the same devil, but he's using another approach now. Now Jesus' patience is going to be tried. It's now afflictions from without. It's not temptations from within. It's now afflictions from without. But both of them required him to be an overcomer. You have to be an overcomer. If you're going to stay under the yoke, under his chastisement, you've got to be an overcomer. You've got to overcome yourself. Because there's going to be a tendency that you're going to keep on wanting to try to find some way to get out of it, some way to escape. Some way, like Joseph, the only weakness he had in the prison when he said to the butler, please, when you get out of here, speak to Pharaoh for me. Now the man, he was running out of patience at that time. But then the prophet says that he would remember his visions, faith. What God had spoken to him in the days of his youth, that his brethren were going to come and bow down, that he was going to be on the throne. He allowed that faith to kick in again, to say, no. God knows what he's doing. Those visions never fail. I have knowledge enough to know by my experiences that I've been through is that he never fails. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get me to fulfill the vision that he's got for me. But these are real testing times, friends. Now, to some people, temperance is the harder one. It just depends on the way that we're made. Some people, it's the passion, it's the hot blood that it's not easy to keep under. David was a hot-blooded man. So how does Satan come to him? Bathsheba. He brings a naked woman. We were in Jerusalem. We went into David's palace. The house of David, it's on a right on a hill. And they've excavated the whole place. And the first thing we got, the Gitana said to me, wonder where Bathsheba's house was. We were standing right where David was. And we said, hey, wonder where Bathsheba's house was. Because you're right looking down into the valley of Kidron, the Kidron Valley. So somewhere there, and there was a passion that rose up. He needed to kick into temperance. But it was the time the kings go to battle. He wasn't in the post of duty. He was lying on his bed. He should have been at church. He should have been with the brethren, but he wasn't. He wasn't in the line of duty. And now when the traveler came, remember when the prophet came to him and said, a certain man, a traveler came his way. When that demon of lust came, that traveler passed his way, he entertained it. Instead of putting it under, instead of kicking into that gear, getting the mastery, maybe having to fast, pray, get himself before the Lord to gain mastery, to put that under the blood once again, he allowed that thing to breed and get strength. And that became the great blot in the life of David. That whenever it speaks about David being a righteous man in the Bible, it says, except in the issue of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Every time it spells it out in full. She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Bathsheba, friends, we don't want those kind of things. Like we said on Sunday, there's certain things that, yes, they can go under the blood, but there's certain things that you put such a blemish. And the Bible says it about adultery. It says adultery, it's very difficult to sort that one out. It says, because when you even try to make compensation, it says in Proverbs, to the husband, no matter how many gifts you try to offer, he's not going to be pacified. There's certain things that when we do them, we've gone beyond the bounds. And now that thing can haunt you for the rest of your life. That thing will keep coming back and hold you back. Our friends, you don't want those kind of things. You'd rather make the mistakes, the silly mistakes, and learn from them. But those big ones, yeah, the sins of the flesh, fornication, adultery, these kind of things. Oh, you might just have one night of passion and then somebody conceives. And how now for the rest of your life? You've got your family at home. How are you going to explain this? I know a brother is not here. But he wasn't yet married, but he was going out with his wife. He was engaged to his wife. And he was having a relationship with another girl. And they both conceived almost at the same time. And then that girl had two children, and now his wife had one. And then that girl died. We knew her well. And this brother now, he went and took those two children, and he like brought them into his home. And now he has two children the same age from different mothers. And it's such an embarrassment to his wife. Because the wife will be asked questions to say, oh, how old is she? Oh, she's 8 years old. Oh, how old is he? Oh, he's 8 years old. Oh, they're twins. And now she has to explain, these aren't twins. This actually isn't my son. Yes. Friends, how do you take away a blemish like that? That's why temperance is important. Tonight I was going to speak about power, the power of prayer and patience. Now, just important, you can never, ever develop these things without being prayerful inside of your life. Because the Bible says, concerning patience, says, any afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. That's so important. And when temptation comes in, pray. Seek the Lord. That's the first thing we should do. When your passion's rising up from within, pray. When somebody is provoking you from without and you're about to do something to bring yourself out from under the yoke, pray. First, pray. Seek the Lord. And let the power come from the capstone once again and energize and quicken that virtue inside of you, that patience or that temperance. And then you can do things which, like Samson, that other people can't do. But it's not by power. It's not by might. And that's when you fall asleep in your Christian life. These things aren't quickened enough. And you find a lot of regrets and a lot of sadness and a lot of mistakes. And a lot of black marks and a lot of tarnished reputations inside of your life. That's why it's important, friends, that we endure. That we really get that endurance inside of our experience. So the prophet says the first thing is to have patience with God. If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience. Because faith worketh patience. We read the scripture. So faith, when you're in the midst of trial, if you have faith, yeah, if you have reality of divine love at that time, that you know, I'm under the tutor here. He's trying to teach me something here. Our friends, it takes away the bitterness from the trial. But when you're not having fellowship with the Lord, and it's just a trial, and just one day goes into the next, it just becomes a big frustration to you. And be careful, because the actions we take under frustration, we always regret. Those hasty behaviors, those ones where we're quick on the trigger, and when the hot blood comes and we act, has it ever worked out well in the kingdom of God when you've acted? It's never has. We regret it every time. Now and go and make it right. Yeah? And so look, I'm really, really sorry. I shouldn't have behaved like that. I shouldn't have spoken like it. It didn't please the Lord. I know that's not how he wanted me to behave in the midst of this situation. And that's what the prophet's saying. He says, when God says anything, you believe it. That's patient, yeah? Then he says, God told Abraham, and he was patient with God. But that patience was tried. But in the end, what God said, it came to pass. Once Abraham developed that. And then he speaks about Noah. He speaks about Noah's patience. Imagine a man who had to endure, yeah? Had to have an endurance, 120 years, when there was the reproach for the cause of the word. You see, patience isn't just sitting back and waiting for something. Patience is active. Patience is endurance. Patience is when the opposition comes, the criticism comes, other things come. It's against them. It puts up the shield. It fights the good fight. It gives you the victory in those kind of situations. But now I had to wait 120 years. And you can imagine the conflict from without. Yeah? Imagine the mocking and all that which he had to put up with for 120 years. Imagine the misunderstanding within his family. Imagine the times that his family might have come to him and said, but hey, Dad, it's been 97 years now. We haven't seen any rain. It wasn't easy. And imagine even the greatest battle ever fought inside of Noah himself. Imagine the times maybe when he got low in spirit and he thought, but hey, did I really hear God properly? And was that really God that spoke to me? Amen. It's been 110 years now. Not a drop of rain. But then there was an ability inside of him to get back in fellowship and kick in the gear. And the endurance would kick in again. And then he'd put himself back under. And the knowledge would kick in, the faith would kick in, the virtue would kick in. He would minister virtue to his family, get them back into line, get them back into gear once again as well. The prophet says these things all work together. He says, God tries your patience. That's right. God is going to try it. Because it's the trying of it. It's the purifying of it. It's like taking gold and putting it in the fire, putting it in the furnace. That's trying something. And what does it do? It removes the impurities. Each time you put it inside of the fire, it purifies it. So this character is becoming more and more like Christ. The more that he puts you through and you have the right attitude and you put yourself under his will and you give him his position and you stay in your position, each time it's doing something inside of your character. And that's why it's so wonderful to be with people that have been with the Lord and have been through a lot of trials. Because when difficult time comes and everybody's panicking, knowledge kicks in them. Patience kicks in. Temperance kicks in. And then they say, just quieten down, sonny. I've seen it many times before. Wait and see, the Lord's coming on the scene. That's how it is. But when we're young, No. Maybe something's going wrong. Maybe we need to do something about it. No, let's rearrange this. Let's change that. Let's do this. Let's do that. No, the best thing to do at that kind of a time, call a halt. Call a prayer meeting. Say, saints, let's pray. Let's make sure each of us is under. Amen. That we're remaining under. And then let's seek fresh instructions from him. And that's how the prophet said he loved that song, they that wait upon the Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. When hearts are aflame. Yeah, to humble my pride and call on your name. Teach me, Lord, not to rely upon what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. That's patience, friends. That's endurance that's kicked in. That's the right attitude. That's the right way to face it. So God tries your patience. Now, the next thing as we finish off, this word patience, the meaning of the word, it means it has a forward look. So patience has the ability to focus on what is beyond the current situation. So whatever your current pressure is, patience has the ability to look beyond. Let's read that scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. This is the first example that we find in the Bible that when we're going through situations like that, what is our example that we should be looking to? Paul is going to help us with that example. Look in Hebrews 12 verse 1. He's just taken the whole of chapter 11, yeah? He's spoken of all Abraham, Rahab. He's spoken of all of the great ones, Samson. The great men and women of faith. And then he brings it to chapter 12, verse 1, and he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is he saying to us? That where you are, there's a finishing line. Where you are is where you're supposed to be. You're in a race. It's an endurance race. It's not a 100-meter sprint. It's an endurance race. There's a predestined course. There's a predestined end to this race. And who do we need to look to? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured. That's the same word. In English, it's different, but it's the same word in Greek. It's endure, it's patience. Who for the joy that was set before him, he looked beyond his affliction. He looked beyond his current trial. He looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond the shame. He saw the resurrection. He saw the bride tree. He saw the 144,000. He saw all the benefits that are going to come the other side of the trial. He didn't focus on the trial. That's where we get in trouble. He didn't just look at the circumstances, but he looked with joy beyond them. And that needs faith. He had faith. He knew his father had said. He said, I have power to lay down my life and to take it up again. He knew it's not going to be the end. This is just the beginning. Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, he says it again. For consider him that endured. There it is again. Endurance, perseverance, patience, the same word. Consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself. So you and I complain to say, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they were speaking against me. Look away to Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. It was the whole Sanhedrin. It was the multitudes that were against him. The whole apparatus of the state, the whole Jewish system was against him. They were trying to catch him in his questions. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to say all manner of things, trying to get him to blaspheme, trying to get him to speak against Caesar. So what is Paul saying? He says, when you're going through your trial, look away to Jesus. He's the example we should be looking at. He was the statue of a perfect man made flesh before us. He was the Word made flesh before us. And he knew everything that I'm going through here. It's perfecting me. Everything that he was going through, he knew there's a purpose. Because if my Father's allowed it to come, it's the will of my Father. Nothing's going wrong here. This is the will of my Father. There I keep myself under. I keep myself. Although my flesh wants to take control. My flesh wants to fight. I want to defend myself. I want to show I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Whatever. No. When they took him before the council, it says, what marveled the council? What marveled Pilate? He answered not a word in his own defense. As a sheep before the shearers was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But as the smallest little thing, someone stands on our toes. Wah, 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 wah. We want to be telling everybody, starting with our wife, going through all the people you associate. That sister did this and that sister did that. Friends, that's the flesh. That's the flesh. That's the attributes of the flesh. Amen. You've allowed the flesh to take you out from under. Amen. It's no longer, Father, thy will be done. It's now my will be done. I want my hurt feelings to be appeased. I've got pressure inside. I want to let off this pressure now. And then where's the blessing? You wonder where the dove's gone. You wonder what's happened in your spiritual experience after that. And that's where he speaks about the importance of allowing the capstone. Let the waves come down. Let the waves of love, let the waves of the Holy Ghost come in and energize it again when we're feeling weak in that department. And let him achieve the purpose that he wants to achieve. So Jesus endured such a contradiction against himself. Paul says, remember that, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest you think it's too much. When I lead songs and people don't sing. When I preach and people don't say amen. Yeah. When I speak to my children, they don't listen to me. Be careful. Be careful. Make sure you do it God's way. Make sure you say, Father, what does this mean? What do you want me to do here? What are you trying to teach me here? What's the purpose of this trial? Sometimes, like the carpenter, we need to measure twice and cut once. Don't need to do too quick to measure because you're going to cut and now it's going to be a damage done. You're not going to be able to fix it now because you didn't cut it the right length. You should have measured it twice. The Bible says, prove all things. First, prove all things. You find it at home with the children. It's so easy. One of them comes, Daniel pulled my hair. Yeah, and you get angry and go and give him a hand. And then you find out what was the cause. Because she stood on his toes before he pulled her hair. Measure twice and cut once. But sometimes we allow the passion, we allow the feeling, we're just angry. We want some way to vent and express our anger. And the prophet says that time with Billy Paul, when his little son was coming still in his diapers and saying, please, to Brother Bram, come and play. And they were having a meeting. And Billy Paul gave him a whack and he scooted him across the floor. And the prophet stopped him and said, that child's got an angel. And what you just did grieved that angel. He said, you must discipline him, but don't discipline him in anger. Because it grieved the angel of the child, our friends. And we're all guilty of that. But we need to learn. We need to learn. Let's finish off with this one here. It says, verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Whew. Has anybody beat you until you bled? All somebody did is they used some tattling from their mouth. Somebody just told a silly lie against you. Paul is saying, but you haven't been like Jesus, where they lashed him until his ribs showed, where they pulled out his beard until his face was bloody. They put a crown of thorns and they beat him with rods. Prophesy if you be the Son of God. And that's when temperance kicked in. That's when patience kicked in. And the prophecy, he knew exactly who was hitting him. But it wasn't the will of his father at that time to react. It wasn't the will of his father to do anything. It was the will of his father to remain under. It was the will of his father to remain under. And that's why Paul's saying, when things are tough, look away unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the real example that he's given us. And now, look what he says in verse 5. Because when we're in trial, we can get spiritual amnesia. We'll finish with the scripture. We'll continue on Sunday. Verse 5. And you have forgotten. When we're in trial, we get spiritual amnesia. We forget that God has good thoughts towards us. We forget that God is in control. We forget that all things work together for the good. We forget that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. We forget that nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens to a believer by chance. We forget. And that's why we act the way we do, because we forgot. And Paul says, but you have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto us, unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth, he whips every son whom he receives. Now, verse 7. If you endure, there's the word again, patience, perseverance, endurance. If you can keep yourself under, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Further, then he speaks about different things. Now, verse 11, let's finish with that. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. In Gethsemane, it was grievous for Jesus. He said, my soul is troubled nigh unto death. Yeah? He sweated, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane. And why was he being chastened? For us, not for himself. He did nothing wrong. He was enduring our chastening on the cross. He took our wrong upon himself. But he knew, this is the will of my Father. In the Gethsemane conference, when the prophet says it. For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. There's always an afterward. So look at the afterward. Don't look at the present too much. Don't let amnesia come in the present and you say, but this is too long now. No, 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 no. You know what you're saying? You're saying God doesn't know what he's doing. That's what you're saying. If you're saying this trial is too long, you're testifying that you're not learning from the trial. That you're not being a good disciple in the midst of that trial. Because if you're saying it's taking too long, you're saying God doesn't know what he's doing. Friends, wouldn't be foolish enough to say that. Because my knowledge, that may not be as great as other people's, but my knowledge knows that he does all things well. Amen. And I know as he brings things out, and at the end, you understand and say, Lord, that was the best thing that could have happened to me. Though it was grievous at the time, but afterward, what does it do? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So what is the key on patience? Is your attitude. Your attitude towards it. If you're kicking against it, if you're saying, I don't want this inside of my life, and you're trying to do everything that you can to get that thing out of your life, you're going to just stay there much longer than you ought. But when you go and pray and you say, Father, is it your will for me to drink this cup at this time? Then he says, my son, it's my will for you to drink that cup. Then you say, it's grievous. It's not going to be easy, but thy will be done. And you keep yourself under. You find the divine resources now from the capstone. They quicken you in that trial. Won't have time tonight. Maybe you'll look on Sunday. But I was going to read some of the things from Fox's Book of Martyrs. To show in the ox age, friends, what those saints went through with joy. How they would come to the stake. They're about to be burnt at the stake. The one man, he had his wife and 10 children, including one that was sucking her breast, waiting for them on the way to the stake. Yeah. And you know you're going to go and get burnt. There was no social welfare those days. You're leaving your family because of your faith, because of your stand. Yeah. You're going to leave this wife, and the wife is crying, and the children are crying, Daddy, Daddy. And you're going for your stand for Christ to the stake. And the man started to cry, then he beat himself on the breast. And he said, oh, thou flesh, you would prevail against me, but you shall not prevail. And he kicked into the gear once again. And he went to that stake, and he embraced it, and he kissed it. And he said, oh, happy day. It's my marriage day. I shall be married unto my Lord. And then they brought the flames and they burnt them alive. And how they died. You can't do that in your own strength. But friends, that was patience. That was the ox anointing. It kicked in at that time. And they could endure things that you and I could never believe somebody could endure. So imagine if God helped them. What about you and I in our little trials now? If God gave them power to endure the heat of the flame, the dungeons, the persecution, being burnt at the stake, how much more if you and I have the right attitude to what you're going on, he'll give us the power to endure, to learn the lessons, to go through what we're going through. And sometimes it's something so small. It's just another brother's not speaking to me these days. Or this person said that against me. Ah, friends, when you consider it in the light of the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, we should be on our faces saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing such a rotten attitude to come in the midst of this trial. For allowing myself to bring myself out from under. That's why he's saying, looking unto Jesus. But afterwards, therefore, he finishes off in verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He's saying, don't limp in this trial. Seek him. Let him give you the strength. Let him give you the ability so you can face this trial and walk in the bloody footprints just how he's ordained you to walk. You don't want to be limping because you can fall out of the way. And you get yourself entangled in the wilderness. When God had a specific purpose, he had a blessing in store. Beyond the trial, the afterward was just there. But he's saying, look away to Jesus. That's our friends. When the prophet preached such of a perfect man, you go and get in that message. It's a strong message. To me, it's been so important for me to go back to that message again. To really go and consider and look in the mirror of the word. And then you try to look back at what you've been through, how you reacted, different situations. Then you go and speak to him and you say, Lord, in so many things, thank you. But in other things as well, Lord, you need to help me. Because he's our great Father. He's the Father of life. He's seated on the throne of grace. Now he's trying to bring us to that place that he can cap off this work inside of our lives. That he can take you up on the mountain apart in your own calling as a farmer, as a housewife, as whatever it is. And he can display his glory through you in such a way as never before. That he can set you as an example. That he can say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him or hear ye her. That's the end of where he wants to get us. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship. Let's just ask the Lord to help us with the word. That it may sink in, that we don't be like the man that sees himself in the mirror and then goes out and forget what he looked like. but that the Lord can take it and make it a revelation that in the time of need, it kicks in just in the time of need. May the Lord help us to do that.
I surrender, oh, to
Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to Jesus. Oh, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, oh, to thee, my blessed Savior.
To be like Jesus. Let's sing that song, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like thee.
Bethlehem's manger came for the stranger. Oh, on earth how I long to be like, to be like my King, oh, my faithful Savior. I'll reach his favor on earth, how I long to be like Jesus, oh, to be like him, oh, earth I, oh, to be like him, my through life's journey from earth to to be like him. Serene and holy, obedient, obedient, lowly, on earth how I long to be like him. By grace I'm forgiven. I'm an heir of heaven. I only how I ask to be like. Oh, let me be like Jesus. To be like. Oh, to be like. Oh. From earth to glory, I only how I ask to be like him.
See, I want to be like Jesus. He's going to answer that prayer. And he's already answering that prayer. But sometimes it's not going to answer in the way that you think. Because character is not a gift, character is a victory. Characters for the overcomer. Overcomers in this age. His divine power has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that called us. Yeah, he's called us. So he's given us all that we need. Let's just yield ourselves unto him upon this evening as we close in word of prayer. Ask Brother Francois to pray for us, please. If you'd come, brother. Whatever your desire before the Lord, just keep it inside of your heart. And say, Jesus, you know what I need. Maybe it'll be forgiveness. Maybe because of your attitude. Maybe it'll be thanksgiving. Say, oh Lord, how good you are to me. Whatever it is, let's just appreciate the Lord. Keep it in your heart. Come on, as we close.
Dear Heavenly Father, tonight we come humbled before thy presence to thank you because you ever present water for Israel, thy people. Father, you know the desire of our heart, Father. And according to the scripture, everything works together for those that love the Lord. Father, there's the things that we have to go through in this life. It for a good purpose, Father. Our flesh betray us many times, but we don't look at the flesh. We look beyond the flesh, and we look at the one who calls us to be Christian, Father. As your prophet says, you never make someone a half Christian. You make someone a full Christian, Father. And we believe tonight, after receiving thy word, Father, that comes straight from your throne, Father, to equip us, Father, and to remind us, Father, with the necessary things, Father, that will build us up to perfection. As Paul said, let put aside all laying hand and let go unto perfection, Father. And this is the seventh step of perfection, Father. We put ourselves before thee, Father, that you shall help us, Father. And we know, as you say, Father, those that you have called, you have given them power, Father, to live a virtual and a Christian life, Father. And tonight, Father, we thank you, O Father, for your servant that has put himself aside, Father, and to deliver this word, O Father, that minister virtue to our Christian life, Father, that come to lift up again our faith, Father. That, Father, we know that everything that happened for Christian, not by chance, is your will, Father. And when you were here on earth, you ask for yourself, that let not my will be done, but thy will be done in our life, Father. Father, when you come down that day to speak with Jacob, Father, you didn't ask him about Esau, Father. Amen. You ask him, what is your name, Father? Amen. Because you know that his problem was linked to his name, Father. And most of the things, as your prophet says, that the first enemy of our life is ourselves, Father. That's why we ask you, Father, that you should give us the ability to die completely for our old nature, Adamic nature that we are born with it, our temper or our lack of patience, Father, that you shall manifest yourself in a special way in our life, Father. We ask you, Father, look at the desire of inside of our heart, Father. Each of us here tonight, it means that we need you in our life, Father. We didn't come here to meet with one another, Father. We come to hear from thee, Father, that you shall mold us, Father, that you shall, oh, Father, fashion our life, and you give us the image that you have before we come in this form, Father. Father, we want to reflect your life wherever we are, in our workplace, in our college, in our family, in our neighborhood, Father. Father, we want to reflect thy life, Father. Because the scripture said that we are the writing epistle of thy gospel, led by all men, Father. Amen. Father, we want to be read, Father, that our life shall speak about thee, Father. Amen. Your prophet says, Father, when someone dead, you can't hear any noise, Father. Amen. Even you touch him, there's no reaction, Father. And you say the same thing spiritually speaking, Father. Give us a spiritual death, Father. Yes. That when anything is spoken against us, anything is misunderstood, Father, that we should not react according to the flesh, Father, that your spirit and your wisdom shall come upon us, Father, and will act the same way that you will act if you were put in the same issue. Father, bless us, Father. Bless this congregation, Father. Keep us together, Father, in the abound of thy love, Father. Father, we ask you that the charity shall, oh Father, be once again among ourselves, Father. Amen. That we, with charity, Father, there's a patience, Father. Amen. Oh Father, charity bear everything, Father, and think no evil, Father. Amen. Father, renew the divine love inside of our life, Father. Father, we want to depart from this place. We didn't want to depart the way we come, Father. Surely you have spoken to us, and we want this word that was preached tonight, Father, should be the word of the meditation, Father, of our heart, Father. That when we wake up tomorrow, we shall meditate to open them, Father, that we shall be the doer of thy word, Father. When we come Sunday here, Father, the heaven will be open for us, and you will speak to us in a mighty way, Father, that will bring us to perfection, Father. Oh, Father, we want a change in our life, Father. We want to see that from that time, my life never been the same, Father. That something divine took place in my life, and I wasn't anymore the same, Father. Father, bless us, Father. Renew the virtue to thy servant, Father. That each time when anybody stand behind the pulpit, Father, we shall receive something that we shall help us in Christian life, Father. Going from earth to glory, Father, there's many things, as many examples was given in the Bible, Father. We look at Job's life. We look at God made flesh himself, Father. We look at David, Father. All those examples was put there, Father, to help us, Father, to understand, Father, that all these things is for our good, Father. And we surely confess, Father, that everything that happened in our midst is for our goods, Father. Father, bless us, Father, and give us, Father, power, oh, Father, to live a good Christian life. Give us power, oh, Father, to have a prayer life, Father, amen, that we don't cease, Father. Amen. Give us power, Father, the anointing under thy word, Father, that each time when we listen thy word, each time, oh, Father, when thy word is preached, something will be ministered unto us, Father. Amen. Bless our children, Father, as we see this day as so evil toward them, Father, amen, the law of the world, Father. Amen. Many things are against them, Father. But we believe, Father, that in this age, it will take more than men and women to raise the children in the fear of the Lord, Father. And we believe that you have ministered resources to us that we shall be able to brought them at thy presence, Father. As we're looking forward, Father, for the youth convention, Father, that you shall take control of the meeting, Father, amen, that our children shall be a moment that they're going to experience, Father, something divine from thee, Father. Amen. Help them that they shall consecrate and give their life unto thee, Father, amen, and that will be the joy of each parent, Father, yes, and of this church, Father, that amen, to see our children sealed for the destination, seal for heaven, Father, and anchor in the message of the hour, Father, amen, that anything will come within and with outside, Father, will not shake them, Father. Amen. Bless us all as we depart. We want you to go for in our way as you went before the Hebrew children. Yes. The angel of the Lord, Father, shall go before us and take us away from accident, from any plan of the enemy, Father, that in Sunday when we come here, Father, we shall rejoice in thy house, Father, and we shall give glory unto thee that the Lord who went with us and come back with us. So we thank you for all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's finish that one. Know you not, you are a temple.
I am a temple of the Holy, full of praise, full of power, full of glory, full of praise. I'm full of praise, full of praise, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy, walking up the seven steps unto perfection, walking up the seven steps unto perfection, walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I am the temple of the Holy. Oh, I'm walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I'm walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I'm walking with Jesus. Oh, I am the